Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, and then it will be Antarctic the next week. What was it? What's wrong?
Oh, my orange is disgusting.
Oh.
Hola a todo el mundo y bienvenidos a Phantom Zone, el mejor lugar para todas las cosas nerdos. Si te gusta lo que escuchas hoy, puedes disfrutar nuestros otros episodios ahora en Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast y SoundCloud. Mi nombre es Chris Buick y estoy aquí, como siempre, con mis amigos Simone y Ian. ¿Cómo estáis?
¡Bien!
Muy bien.
We're good, thank you.
We're going to definitely keep that. That was outstanding. I don't know if it's right, but that was amazing. I don't even bother with the English. Just keep that.
Yeah, that was sick.
I figured for this particular film, given its, you know, background and, you know, subtext storyline, I would go with that. For listeners, I lived in Spain for a number of years, so I kind of have that excuse, but you know,
thought you were going in dry and had never ever spoken Spanish before.
Have I not told you this?
No.
Wow, God, how long have you been doing this? And I've never mentioned it. Jesus.
Well, that's why I was like, oh my God, wow, because I was like, for a guy who's never spoken Spanish,
I was doing,
just busted that out. I was like, Jesus. Yeah, I look like a dickhead now.
I very rarely get to use it anymore, so I thought I'll take this opportunity to do it. And also, Duolingo, thank you for helping brush up on some bits.
Woo! Yeah. Duolingo!
Yeah, God praise Duolingo. Well, for those who may not understand that, welcome to the Phantom Zone, your one-stop shop for all things nerdy. Simone and Ian, how are you both? Good?
Yes, good. Really good. Warm? Warm.
It is very hot. Summer has arrived in September in the UK. It's classic. You know, we had a really hot spring, summer, and now autumn's going to be. Yeah, autumn's going to be a heat wave, apparently. So I don't know.
Woo! Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Typical Britain. Everyone runs a bit late. So, you know, what can we do?
Global warming.
It is global warming.
Yeah, no. Global warming. Or, as I learned the other day, the oil companies want you to call it climate change. Did you know that? They were the ones that changed it because they wanted it to sound less alarming.
Yes, okay. Climate change just sounded like it was overcast and now it's just slightly warm.
Yeah.
As opposed to the planet is melting.
Yeah.
To be fair, it does sound less drastic.
It does, doesn't it? It does. They're not wrong.
Thank God the marketing companies for the oil
companies. Don't get me started. I watched a video the other day. I recommend to all our listeners a channel on YouTube called Wisecrack. They do lots of philosophical videos, sometimes on superheroes and stuff like that. It's super interesting. But they did one on climate change the other day, and I genuinely had an existential crisis afterwards. So
yeah, let's came home to like Ian, like this shell of a man. I was like, what happened?
Get back onto that, because I was dead inside after that.
Well, let's move on to something, you know, hopefully a bit more positive. We are here this week. I don't know why I'm saying that. We're about to dot DC. We are here this week.
Let's stay on climate change. Jeez.
Maybe that's what they did. It was DCEU. DCU sounds much better.
It's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. The oil companies are behind us. Anyway, we are here this week as part of our ongoing partnership with UK Film Review. Big up to UK Film Review. To talk all about the latest DCU film, Blue Beetle, which hit cinemas a couple of weeks ago. Blue Beetle, which, to be clear, is not a film about a sad member of the legendary Fab Four band. It is, in fact, the story of one Jaime Reyes, played by Jolo Maradueña, a young man who, through a series of crazy events, comes into possession of an ancient alien scarab, which chooses him to be its symbiotic host, grafting itself to his body and bestowing him with a suit of armor that's capable of extraordinary powers. Jaime must now learn to control his new abilities and use them to protect his family and community from a powerful threat. There's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, that's a good summary of that film. That's
very,
really good.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Thank
and
you
now
very
we
much.
Don't need to talk about it.
Wow. That's the end of the podcast. No, I'm joking. Right, we're just going to get straight into it. Overall thoughts, broadly ratings, that first before we get into the nitty-gritty. So, Ian, you are top of my list. Blue Beetle, you saw this a few days ago, so should be fresh in your mind, even though I know it's not. what did you think of Blue Beetle?
So my review on Letterboxd, which people go follow me on Letterboxd. I post every film. What,
are you just Ian Lunny on Letterboxd, by the way?
Yeah, just Ian Lunny on Letterboxd. I would say I'm the person who looks like me, but I don't actually have a photo. I've just found out, so I'm going to have to change that. But I do a review of every film I watch, and I did a very short review on Blue Beetle, which was an exercise in mediocrity.
Wow.
I thought this film was terrible. I really, really did not like this film.
Okay.
We left. Simone went to me. Which bit did you like? And for a good 10 minutes, I sat and had to think, and there was nothing. There was literally nothing that I liked about this film. I will say, you know, I guess broadly, the actors are good enough in it. Although it's Susan Sarandon's in this, isn't she? Susan Sarandon? Yeah, she did not want to be in this film. She was chewing that scenery to get through this.
I have many thoughts on Susan Sarandon.
I don't think she wanted to be in this. So I'd say it's broadly... Oh, God. The thing is, though, like, we can get into the nitty-gritty more, but this is not as bad as Flash. I think the Flash is, like, genuinely, like, trash. This is just so boring and mediocre and dull that it's just broadly bad to broadly terrible. And I just really hated it. I really, really did not like it. And we can get into it more, but, yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Okay, so Ian is on the fence. Simone, what did you think?
It's broadly fine to broadly bad. It didn't really feel like it was doing anything new. Like, it's very formulaic. Felt very reminiscent of like early Marvel. Well, not too early, but like Ian actually made a comparison that it was just, this is going to be Iron Man 2, and then...
Interesting.
Well, I actually have a comparison point. Now, but yeah, there is a weird Iron Man 2 bit in it. But
I did enjoy some parts of it. Ian did not enjoy these parts, but I enjoyed the like really hammed up, campy moments with the family, where it kind of felt like it was like a telenovela or something.
Yeah,
it was like very over the top. I actually really enjoyed that. I don't know if that was their intention, but I thought that was broadly entertaining. I was not a huge fan of it. As soon as I left the cinema, like most of the film kind of like dissipated, kind of like just gone.
Did I just see a film? Where have I been the last 2 hours?
We were in the car, and Simone generally was like, bit did I?
I couldn't tell you. Not a fan of this film. They did bad.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
They did a dirty.
Right. Controversially, I'm going to say I enjoyed it.
But
I will put the needle firmly on broadly fine, mainly because the bits I enjoyed were the same bits that I think, Simone, you enjoyed, was the dynamics between the family and the characters were a bit punchier than I've seen in recent DCU films. And I came out thinking, well, I enjoyed it more than pretty much anything DC have done recently. I was more surprised at how much I enjoyed it more than I was expecting. What I would say is all the superhero-y bits were naff and pretty much where the mediocrity for me comes in. It's like, I've seen this all before. You're not giving me anything new in that regard. As soon as it stopped out of the family aspect and became the superhero film, that's when it really fell down for me and lands right on the broadly fine middle of the scale. If we're looking at it like a needle point.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon, Jesus Christ.
I mean, she looks great.
There
you go.
She didn't care being there.
No,
she was terrible. Really bad in this film.
She's so bad in this film.
I think she does. I genuinely feel like she did not care at all about this film. I feel like it was one of the ones we always talk about it, where an actor's been told you have to be in this contractually.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, okay, let me just get it done. Let me just, like, every line was just like forced out. And there was a bit where they were in the helicopter at the end with her, like, niece. And she pulled a gun on her. And like the way she was holding her gun was just like the most, I really don't care. I know this is a prop. Sort of like, she was just fling it around. It was like, I'm going to shoot you in your face. And I was just like, oh my God, this is terrible.
But what is with DC getting these like legendary, like Helen Mirren in Shazam, you got Holly Hunter in Justice League, Daughter of Justice, you know, they're just like, they're better than this.
They are way better than this.
What do you have on these people that you're making them do this stuff? I'm not going to say anything about Susan Sarandon because I think she's actually really great. And
she's a great actress.
I don't want to say anything libel, but she must have some. They must have something on her that made her compelled to do this. I mean, see how she's, unless she thought.
Well, the thing is, Blue Beetle had a budget of 104 million, right? And I bet a good 80 million of that.
And has not made that back.
Yeah, he has not made that back. But I reckon the majority of that went on Susan Sarandon. Because it doesn't look good. Like, I'll tell you that for free. Like, it doesn't look good at all.
I mean, I'd be in a DC film for $80 million. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I would. It looks terrible. Like, there's bits where, like, Blue Beetle's fighting the villain and Carapace. Like, where is everybody? Like, the city's just completely empty.
Yeah, like, it's one of those, isn't it? It's like city destruction but no stakes. You're like,
nobody's there. Yeah. Like, literally nobody's there, and it's meant to be like an LA sort of like city, you know, and there's just no one there.
Well, we said this about Justice League as well, when they fight in
maybe it's just this
Metropolis. Maybe no one lives there. Maybe because it's so messed up, no one lives there.
Yeah, like, let's just get out of this place. This is terrible. Like, oh man. Well, I was going to say, Simone mentioned about it having comparison to Iron Man 2, but I actually realized through talking to one of my students who I'm interested to hear her opinion on this film because she is Latin American, she's Mexican American, so I want to hear her opinion on this film and its representation. She hasn't seen it yet, but Jessie, hi, she listened to all our episodes.
Hi, Jessie.
Hey, Jessie.
Hi.
It's Ant-Man. This film is Ant-Man, like, genuinely.
Yeah,
it is beat for beat Ant-Man. It's about a guy down on his luck who's actually really intelligent but can't get a job that reflects his abilities. He has to get a job to help protect his family. He then finds a insectoid related suit that he can't control. It messes him up, right? Then he has to fight an alternative version of himself, which, I mean, is in every Marvel film, you know, from the dawn of time. But has to fight because they are trying to make multiple suits for a military government to sell to them to make money off the evil suits that are his suit. It's literally Ant-Man.
Like, oh, yeah. The tropes, I mean, even the you know, the Iron Man 2 reference, the crazy, you know, the evil guy in the big suit, you know, that kind of fights him. He's like, I've seen all these tropes in every Marvel and DC film for the last, like, 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
You've literally just gone cut and paste from a lot of these.
It's 20 years out of date. And even then, I don't think it's a good... Like we can all agree, Chris and Simone, like, Iron Man is still a good film, right?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. If this came out the same time as Iron Man, we'd all be like, this is crap.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
yeah, it is. It's bad. It's so boring. It's just so dull.
I think there's a lot of, like I say, the superhero-iness of it is where it's like, okay, I'm not getting anything from this. I've seen this. You know, the characters are what keeps this film kind of afloat. Yeah,
I think the characters and the
actors do a good job. I genuinely do, apart from Susan Sarandon. Sorry, Susan.
I agree. I think the uncle kind of like kept, and to be fair, towards the end, the grandmother.
I just really hate it.
I like that it was super campy and hammed up and over the top.
I don't think they meant it to be.
Look at the logo. The logo is like this weird, out of time, almost 80s like font thing going on. So yeah, I think it's intentional.
Do you? I don't know. Like,
I think it's intentional. I think it's overly cheesy and overly campy at times, but I think it is intentional to do what they've done. I don't think they're oblivious to what they're doing. I just think they maybe overdo it.
I just don't think it came across well then. Like, I just think, like, yeah, fine, you can do things campy. And so look at Thor Ragnarok, which I know Thor Love and Thunder led us to, like, something terrible, but Thor Ragnarok definitely takes a more campy, like, look at Thor. To its detriment, some would say, because Thor becomes almost like a moron by Thor Love and Thunder. But, like, it goes too far, like, Thor Love and Thunder. Like, it's like, this family are just totally not believable, and almost, this is why I want to hear what Jesse's opinion is as somebody who is Latin American. I found it like almost stereotyping their family, and they became like, it shoehorned in the representation of Mexican American immigrants coming from the border, which I would have thought would have been a really interesting take on it. But because it's all really stereotypical and like not done well, and also looks mad cheap, I just was like, I don't believe any of this. Like, I just don't feel like they had a real family connection. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't it didn't feel like they were really a family. It felt like they were on Hollyoaks.
I felt they were really a family. I'm not speaking to the representation, because obviously I can't, and it'd be interesting really to get that kind of perspective. But I did get a kind of family.
Well, Jesse,
dynamic
join the show. Come on, for this one.
Absolutely, it'd be fantastic to hear Jesse.
We'll revisit it with you.
We'll revisit this. Yeah. But I did get a family dynamic from them. Like I say, it does play into the cheesiness, the kind of campiness of it, and I think it does go too far a number of times, but I did get the feeling that they were a family unit. And when, obviously, spoilers if you haven't seen Blue Beetle, it's better than The Flash.
That's our review.
Yes, our review.
We'd all agree on that, right? We all agree.
It's better than The Flash. Yeah, and Black Adam and Shazam.
Oh, God.
I'm putting this in my top 5 DCEU films, which is not a high bar, but it's a bar that I'm going to go with.
I don't even know what my top 5 DCEU films.
Right, I'll go through them a bit later on, and we can decide.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Where this
falls, right?
Let's stay on this.
But I agree with you, Chris. I do feel like I generally, they were quite convincing in their representation as a family, and I like the dynamics that were going on. again, yeah, can't say whether it's like true representation, but what are you laughing about?
No, carry on. You'll laugh when I say it as well. You'll laugh.
No, go ahead. Please.
Well, I was going to say, because it's so predictable with the family, I turned to Simone within the first like 10 minutes of the film and went, his dad's going to die. His dad's going to die. And Simone went, no, they wouldn't be on the nose that much. And I was like, you wait. Dead.
I must agree. I assumed one of the family would die.
I knew it was going to be his dad.
I found that quite emotional, and I found that quite a touching moment. You know, because you know,
I mean, like the whole scene was like Ian. We discussed this. It was quite good the way they did it and they set it up.
I thought so.
What, his heart attack?
No, as if it was like an immigration raid or something. Like,
oh
it,
no, okay, yeah, like, that
was
right,
really good.
Yeah,
that was the yes. one bit in the film that I felt had good potential in terms of having an allegory for something else. But because it looked really cheap, I do think it detracted from it still. Because it did look cheap to me. Like, even what they were wearing, not the family, they looked like they were wearing normal clothes, but the armed guard people looked like really plasticky, sort of like foam Power Ranger sort of villain armor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like if they just turned up in just normal stuff.
If
like
it had been a
stuff.
Bit more just a black outfit. Where,
yeah.
And I get, because it's meant to be like faceless people, you know, ruining lives and stuff. But they were very, you're right, they're very hyped up kind of futuristic looking.
Which affected the tone, but I do
like
think
Starship
that scene...
Troopers kind of. Stuff, yes, you know, and yes. I'm just like, yeah, it kind of takes it away. Obviously, he's wearing a Blue Beetle suit, so that kind of doesn't help either. But you know,
forgive the suit though. He's a superhero; they shouldn't look.
When
like
they're
that.
In the house, be it, and you know the grenades are coming in, it's on
fire.
I think that's where the film definitely peaks.
Yes,
I think that's
the
best part. Would we agree with that? That's
yes,
the best
definitely.
Agreed.
And I think it plays nicely into the moment where the dad dies and he has that, and he can't help him because he's obviously been restrained. And I think there's just that, it does speak to that allegory of, you know, immigration and the raids that, you know, happen to people.
That is good.
It's a solid scene. Like,
it's a solid scene that I think could have been done better, but the idea is good. Like, well, the concept and some of the execution was good. I think the family in that scene were good as well. That's all I have to say on that.
I think there are some themes in there that are good themes that it leads to. So, for example, you know, Latin American family trying to achieve, I guess, the American dream, trying to, you know, be something, or, you know, trying to just, you know, hold on to their home while, you know, there's wealth on the other, literally on the other side of the city that they can see, that kind of shows the divide between class and race and, you know, upbringing. I think there's a lot of stuff in there that is touched on, but never really, it's kind of like, hey, we've mentioned it, and then they just kind of stop. I think... There's a lot of stuff going on there that's then he goes, okay, now we're gonna do some superhero stuff, and it kind of then gets washed over, and then it's a bit. This film could have been a bit deeper and a bit more of a, had something else to say rather than just being another, like you say, an Ant-Man-esque type origin story for a superhero that has a slight twist. But I feel like it had some good stepping stones. It just didn't take them all to as fully as it probably could have done, which is a real shame, because I feel like the characters could have been more interesting, and the family dynamic could have been a bit more. And there's, like I said, there's certain themes in there that could have been explored a bit more, but just weren't, which I think really is a shame for me.
Yeah. I think so. I think it's a fair point that it tries to highlight stuff, but I think it just fails. And like, for me, it just like lands like flat on its face. And like watching it, I found quite like painful, like having to get through that. Like if it was an hour and a bit, like how long was Barbie again? An hour and 45?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. If it was an hour and 45 or an hour and 40.
Maybe it was 2 hours and 7.
It's 2 hours. It's 2 hours of this crap.
And it didn't need to be that long. There was so much they could have cut.
So, like all of the crappy dialogue. Just get rid of all of that.
No one says anything.
Well, there was so like that crappy entire like round table scene when I can't remember her name, but is it
like a Red Table Talk?
Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny comes to visit the family, and they're all sat there, and they're like showing him he's showing that he's got the scarab in his back, and you know they're like, I've been worse, and it's like it's just kind of like this scene did not need to be this long.
Didn't need to be. And then his reaction when he stole the car earlier, being like, oh my god, and I was just like, oh god, just
cut
like,
it. It's all chaff. Cut that.
And like when he finds his powers and he's floating around and smashing up the city, and like the one time you see people walking around this city, and they're trying to be funny, and the guys who are like, oh, am I high? Are you high? Ooh. Get rid of that. Get rid of all of that. Like, it's just nonsense that
was really weird.
It's really weird.
That was really weird. That was.
It doesn't fit.
No, it felt so forced in.
It felt like we've got to get some funny stuff in here. We got to get like some bit like people are going to chuckle at this. And it doesn't tonally match at all. Well, it does kind of, I guess, because the whole rest of the film's a mess. But like it just doesn't. Oh, it's just so weird. Just get rid of that. And him talking to the suit all the time. Just get rid of that as well.
Yeah.
Just get rid of all of it.
Get rid of the whole film.
Get in the bin. Get it over there. Get out of here.
They use the standard trope, which is noticeable these days, of if you want to have an action scene, you set it at night because arguably less people are around. So, you know, you can drive.
CGI.
You can drive 90 miles an hour down the road at night because no one's around. So,
no one's
around.
The CGI doesn't look as crap, even though it did. Like it didn't look good.
Oh, the villain's evil lair isn't in the tall rise building where they work every day. It's actually in this other place, which is miles away.
Where's the security for that building?
It's terrible.
Like everybody's just walking in and out of that building.
They're all raiding houses.
Yeah, for no reason. Just raiding the house. Like nobody's guarding that building at all. Like they've walked in 3 or 4 times during the course of one day. It looks like it didn't even look like we had a sun up and a sundown. It looked like one evening they had gone in and gone, oh, I forgot that little watch. Let's go back. We'll get that. Go in, come out. Oh, I forgot something else. Let me just, we'll go back in. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's only 2. We got time. Let's go in.
Like, I mean, it was the same with the first, like when they're getting the scarab out of the building in the first like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And she hands it to him and like the building's gone into lockdown, but he somehow manages to walk out the door anyway.
Just walks out with this.
No one stopped him?
I did think that. I was like, how does he get out? Surely that alarm's been gone for a good 5 minutes. Surely all the doors are shut.
clean out the door.
This is a company that specializes in military contracts and defense and security and can't even lock down their own building. I would not pay them money for anything.
If anything, I've learned that this company is completely incompetent and like nobody should ever hire them. It's such like for
it's
me.
It's because Susan Sarandon doesn't care.
Yeah, that is it. That is literally it. She don't care about the film or the company. She don't care. She doesn't care. And for me, like this film, to get into like I guess a more introspective because that's more about myself, but like a more deeper. It's made me introspective.
How did this make you feel about you?
It made me feel.
Let's
like
make this about you.
It made me feel like I wasted my time and my life. No, I'm joking. No, but to dissect, I guess, this film more, I think like when I compare it to, say, The Flash, we've talked about The Flash. I think The Flash is going to be remembered as like a turning point in superhero films because that film was really bad. Like, and it made no money. Like, it was a complete flop. And DC have unfortunately had 2 flops in a row. Now, is this as bad as The Flash? No. But I think because this is so cookie cutter run by the numbers, just, you know, it's even esque of like Green Lantern when that came out as well, that it's just so carbon copy that it's going to just be forgotten in like T minus a day. I mean, Simone forgot it in less than that, like a few hours. And I think it's a sign that like Toby, last time he was with us and we kind of, I think we lost this, unfortunately, because of my recording issue. But he mentioned that people want, it's not that they're fed up of superhero films, it's that they want good superhero films. And I think that's true. to an extent, but I think we are starting to see like an end of this style of superhero films. Like, we're coming to an end of this now. And Marvel also have had this problem that they've peaked with Endgame. And subsequently, I think we can all agree here, the best thing that they've come out with since that was Loki.
Yeah.
And Loki is a, what I am now coining, me, I'm taking this as revisionist superhero films. Like, much like Westerns had their boom and then revisionist Westerns that deconstructed the genre and started to evaluate these films in like a introspective way. This is what we want to see. Logan was that. Logan. The Across the Spider-Verse is that. You know, Logan deals with like the death of a hero. Across the Spider-Verse deals with like an end, a superhero who should have never been a hero. And also it breaks down like the trope of having like your family member have to die to be a hero. I think that was really intelligent in breaking down the genre. Joker does that, even though I don't really like that film that much, but it's still a revisionist film. The Boys, even though I've not watched it, is 100% a revisionist take on that genre. And these are now more popular than crap like this. Because this is just the same crap.
We don't need any more origin stories. We've seen origin stories hundreds of times. So many times, you know, like it feels like
hundreds of times.
It does feel like hundreds of times. And I think, Ian, you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, we are ready to see the next step.
Mm.
Like, show us something new.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because when, obviously, the Tom Holland Spider-Mans started, they skipped they skipped the whole origin story, because obviously we saw it with Tobey Maguire and we saw it with Andrew Garfield, right? So Everyone, if anyone knows anything, it's either Batman's origin story or Spider-Man's origin story. It's like always done. So they've tried to sidestep that. And you're right. The way superhero films, I think, need to move forward is being less about the powers and the fighting and, you know, the spectacle, and more about the characters and more about grounding it in
more about the themes.
Like, you watch Logan, right? Logan. Obviously he's got his powers and it's great when he, but it's not about, it's about him as a person. It is about him as an old man coming to terms with his, I guess, mortality and, you know, the fact his body isn't how it used to be. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good film that it's like, we've said it before, it's not even a good superhero, it's just a great film.
It's just a brilliant film.
He doesn't even have to have the Wolverine claws in that film. It doesn't matter, that whole bit, the bit at the end where he's, you know, his last stand is great, but he doesn't need to have the superpowers for that. What everything that's been built up to that beforehand is what makes that film fantastic.
Exactly. And
I think that's where superhero films need to go, because when we had the MCU, yes, we had obviously all the fun stuff with Iron Man and Captain America, but we really got to love these characters. And now a lot of those characters are now gone. So obviously Iron Man's gone, Captain America's gone, everyone's gone. So what they're asking us to do is basically start from scratch. We're like, well, no, we've already been through 14 years of origin stories and films and stuff. And now you're basically asking us to fall in love with it's like, we're tired of that. Please give us something, you know, if you want to make us care about your characters, make interesting characters. Don't just keep making, you know, lack of a better term, crap that's, you know, the same as we've been getting.
Well, it's true, because like it's 100% true, because Thor Love and Thunder I think is one of the biggest missed opportunities in terms of the films that have come out recently. Not to jump on your point, but it is true, what we got was crap, right? That was a crap film. And what they could have, because I think they should go a step further, where it's, I agree with you, characters, but they have a real opportunity to explore themes and like just the bigger questions that like we can get from film. And it might, again, you know, we have talked about it before, that like I have semi, not pretentious, but like I semi have like, well, you guys can say it's pretentious, it's fine. I have a higher standard for my films. I'm definitely the harsher critic out of probably us. Like, I am always quite harsh, but it's because I think films can do more. Like, films can do like really significant things. And I think it's not just like, oh, well, these are just I hate to like agree with Martin Scorsese because I didn't agree with him when he said it, like that these aren't really cinema. I don't want to say that because that's like you, that's kind of obnoxious, and we've talked about this before. But the stuff they've been releasing like recently has nothing to say. It's just meaningless crap that they're just pumping out. Whereas for Love and Thunder, you could have had a real exploration into like what truly defines a hero and a god. And like Gore is just butchering gods left, right, and center because they're given worship, and these people are like worshipped by humans. And it's like Natalie Portman as a human gets the abilities of a god. Does that make her a god? Or does she need to be worshipped to be a god? Like, and deconstructing that genre would have been more interesting than what we got, and what we got was rubbish. And that's the problem with this film. Like, it touches upon the ideas of being an illegal immigrant in the US and the fears of being removed like by force from your home and your family, and the ideas of like losing the people you love. And what it does with that is just like, here you go, and then throws it away. And I just like, it's just really frustrating because I do think films can be like more than what we're getting. And case in point of this, not me being pretentious, like, oh, it needs to be like Blade Runner or something like that. Winter Soldier is more than just like a superhero film. Like, it's such an amazing film, and it does such a great job of breaking down the espionage genre and placing it within the superhero genre, but it does a better job of that by making it like a deconstruction of that genre. And they should have kept doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I kind of felt like this, I know it's going to sound really harsh, but like, what were the stakes in this film? Like, I know it's obviously, it's his life. So that's, I know that's awful to say, like, what are the stakes? Like, it's his life, but like, what were the stakes? Because I know when you were reading the synopsis of it, I thought it was really interesting. You said like he's trying to protect his community, but it's like there wasn't really a community. We didn't really see anyone
until the end.
Until the end, when everyone comes out of like, you know, out of, I don't know where they came from. Like, we've never seen any of these people before at any point in the film.
I'd love if they walked out and the family are like,
who are these guys? But yeah, there was no stakes in the film, and it all just felt hollow.
Yeah, you've got to have something there that you think this is an actual risk. There's a potential for something to actually happen here, like that will have repercussions on a wider scale. Because the new Marvel films don't have that. Everything is wrapped up and cut in a film, and you know. You'll get, for example, Gore, the God Butcher. Endless potential there to be absolutely. You got Christian Bale in the role as well.
Amazing.
And you just go, all right, see you later.
And he's just dead at the end.
And he's just giving it everything. And everyone else is doing like panto, like, ooh, look at me, it's far.
Yeah.
And he's giving like a really good performance. And I'm just like, what a waste. We'll never see Gore again because he's gone.
And like, from probably one of my favorite comics in like, I mean, I won't say like in the last decade because there's been a lot of amazing comics, but it is a really good comic. Like, it is.
Yeah,
really...
oh, God, yeah.
And they just went, there you go. Yeah, he's dead.
It's interesting. And I'm loath to agree with this person because I don't particularly agree with all their views, but Mark Millar, obviously, who created Kick-Ass and The Kingsman, has also said that really the superhero film has peaked at Endgame and is now treading water, trying to course correct itself.
I mean,
Endgame, when you look at it as a standalone film, is, you know, there's all the spectacle and, you know, there's this big fight scenes and everything, but it's the culmination of so much that was built, so much hard work that was put before it from 2008 up to 2019, that with characters that we've literally, and back to Simone's point, there were stakes, you know, at the end of Infinity War, we knew that, and we've seen that in other Marvel films, and we knew going into both Infinity War and Endgame that anything could happen. No one was... no one was safe, really, apart from people who were just introduced and signed six movie contracts who we already knew about, but they were probably fine. But we knew, like, you know, obviously Iron Man was on the table, Captain America was on the table, Thor theoretically was on the table at that point, Black Widow, obviously. At that point, we actually had something to be invested in. We had people and stories and characters that we actually cared about and wanted to actually come back and see three times a year, as we did. Nowadays, we're literally just saying Ant-Man fighting villain of the moment or whoever it is, and then it's gone. The only thing that is kind of going back to another earlier point is Loki, which seems to be building something that could actually be world-changing.
That's because it's, in my opinion, revisionist. It breaks down what Loki and like that universe is about with the timekeepers and how this universe actually works. And when we meet He Who Remains at the end, that isn't I remember us watching that, and both me and Sim were like, that was fantastic. Like, He Who Remains explaining this universe and all the time and how he keeps everything in check is a really great way of breaking down a superhero film and like the ideas of determination. And are these things always going to happen? Mm. When he's like, when they're writing and he's already written what they were going to say, like that is kind of like, well, this is always preordained. It's always going to happen. And then when he says, I'll see you soon, it's really interesting that they've broken down the genre like that. Maybe everything with Thanos was always meant to happen the way that it did. And when Doctor Strange had his like time thing, there's only one timeline. Well, maybe because this was always going to be the way that it was meant to be. So like, that's interesting. But the rest of them have just not said anything of interest. Like even Endgame, which as you say, is a spectacle. And I don't agree with Martin Scorsese when he talks about things like Endgame, because it is an accumulation of like that work that they did. But I think the thing in Endgame, you see interesting takes on like Thor. He's clearly going through like PTSD from mm-hmm. what he dealt with and like having failed, you know, and his character goes from this like guy who has to deal with the guilt of not being able to save everybody to in a film time being like this wacky pantomime character being like, wait, what up? And I'm like, what has happened between this and that? I think Martin Scorsese was wrong to call the spectacle everything prior to Endgame. But I think this period has just become like nonsense, that it's just like, well, they're going to pay for it anyway. They're going to go see it. And it's going to be getting people in seats rather than anything of significance. I don't know what you guys think, you know, why Loki works so well. Actually, we forget another one. It slips through the cracks that I actually really did think worked. Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night did work because it's a genre film. It's a horror.
It's a genre film. It's revisionist.
Yeah, it's ignored everything that's, you know, come before. It's its own thing. It's a genre piece. It's built with that kind of thing in mind. I really forgot about Werewolf by Night.
Really, yeah, you forget about it.
Really
yeah,
good.
You forget about really it good. Because it's in the sea of crap. Like it's you forget because we've had The Flash and we've had Black Adam and we've had Blue Beetle and we've had Thor, Love and Thunder. And it's just too many. It's too many. So then when something like Werewolf by Night comes along, I'm like, oh, that was really good. And then
it was so different. Like,
it's so different.
I mean, at this point, is it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are we really asking that much? just to not have but are we asking that
all
much?
We want is
like just don't rehash the same 70 plus films that we've already got. Don't rehash that. There's so much more that could be said. There's so much
sending
more.
This to Kevin Feige. Are we asking much?
I don't feel like we are. Like I would love to see them without the I don't know whether like DC are as strict as Marvel can be, as we know, you know, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man because he felt too confined.
Are they
just so confined and so tight with what they want to sell us that they're pushing away what could be great? This film probably could have been really great if they had just let it be less formulaic, like really give it to the writers
who directed this as well.
I think the writers and the director, they are
Angel Manuel Soto.
They're of Mexican heritage, right? So
yeah, they
like,
should have really been able to just run with
let
it.
Them just
Puerto Rican.
Let them just write write something that, you know, they want to see, because people love seeing themselves, you know, like I, as a black person, I loved Black Panther. That was amazing.
I was just about to say that's why Black Panther worked.
Seeing such a like a positive portrayal of black people on screen, which is something that you don't often get to see. I would have loved to have seen a genuine story about a Mexican-American family like struggling and their issues with immigration and just trying to achieve the American dream. They could have done so much more just with those two things that they do drop in, but they don't really go anywhere.
They don't explore it nearly often enough.
And whereas, that would have been a more interesting film.
Whereas would have been great.
Black Panther did that really well. Yeah, and really just let that voice like be like as loud as it possibly could and told a fantastic story while delivering on a really entertaining superhero film at the same time.
Yeah.
It was a real smash. Black Panther is a
Black
prime
Panther
example
2
of
less
letting...
so.
Yeah, Black yeah. Panther, unfortunately, that
I feel like there was mitigating circumstances on that film that maybe didn't
maybe, help. But I also feel like this isn't a review for Black Panther 2. We've already done that, but I feel like first half of that film or the first 10 minutes of that film clearly homage to what happened.
Yeah.
Still heartbreaking 3 years on.
Yeah, I still can't get past it.
It's insane. The rest of the film, I feel like, yeah, there were definitely issues. I heard there was a whole different script, like a totally different script that had been written. But what they then did give us, I just felt was like kind of all over the place. Maybe it is because of the circumstances. I mean, it doesn't follow the stereotypical story, I guess. But I feel like, it's not great, Black Panther 2, but I think it's the best of this phase. What else was in that phase? But I think it's definitely one of the passable ones of that phase, but probably what I was going to say, though, that I felt that's why I feel like this film kind of, again, I would need to speak to somebody who is Latin American, and I would like to redo this with perhaps Jesse, who I've mentioned before, or somebody else of Mexican American or other, like Cuban American or any other immigrant of Latin America to America. That's why it felt really shoehorned for me, because it's like Black Panther, that whole film was inherently about that, and it was organic, and they really made a very great like film that not only has a really good story, but an aspect of that story is about that representation, the black experience in the US. You have Killmonger, who is all about that like discussion, and they did it so well to inherently make the story about that, whereas this has nothing like that. Like I feel like that's what they wanted the villain to be in this, in the big suit guy, but it's only because his like family were involved in like a revolution that like they didn't need to be, and the Americans bombed their country, but then they don't really look into that at all, other than Blue Beetle suit being like, I scanned his memory and I need to show you what he went through so you don't kill him. And then they show it, and I was just like, okay, like what?
That should have been brought up way before.
Way earlier.
Yeah.
Way before.
Yeah,
I mean, it just feels disingenuous.
It was like it did feel almost like an afterthought. Oh, actually, we should give this guy some kind of redemption arc, so we don't feel too bad for him. So we feel a bit bad for him. And then obviously a reason, like obviously we see the bit with the locket that he's got that she takes off him. And you're like, okay, we already know there's going to be something. And then he just kind of give it a 30 second kind of moment at the end.
That should have been like a big part of the film.
She should have had it out all the time and been like kind of tempting him with it, saying, oh, don't worry, remember what I did for you, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we found out about 20 minutes before the end that she had, you know, she was responsible for him.
So bad. Like, Killmonger is like such a good example of how to write that well. And still that line when he's like, throw me into the sea with like my
ancestors who knew it was better to die than live in bondage.
I'm getting goosebumps right now. Yeah. Literally just got goosebumps. That is like,
also helps when you have Michael B. Jordan doing it as well.
Oh, yeah, it does help. It does help. but that is goosebumps, that line. And the whole film is about how he, being from Wakanda and should have had his opportunity there and wanted to take the throne and his existence in America and what he's experienced. This dude, who the hell is this dude? Like, who is this guy?
What are his stakes? You know,
he's not going past this film. You know that much. So it's I'm not seeing you in Blue Beetle 2, so it doesn't matter.
Imagine if he turns up.
It's like Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2. I was like, you're not making Iron Man 3. So.
Yeah, it's just so wasted. It's so wasted because if they embraced it. It's wasted and embraced it. If they embraced the representation and perhaps that discussion of like US interference in South America and how they absolutely decimated this character's life because of US involvement in the South American countries, got there eventually, and it being like a private company doing that also makes sense. That is 100% things that happened in history. Mm-hmm. And the CIA were doing stuff like that, so you could definitely do that, embrace that story, have this villain as completely more compelling with somebody who is a son of an immigrant. Perhaps he feels resentful because it's like, you had the opportunities that I didn't. And then at the end, he realizes, oh, actually, it's the system that did this to both of us. It's the society that we live in. Like, we live in a society.
It's capitalism.
Like, it's capitalism. It's CIA. It's the US. It sucks. Like, it's doing badly. Like, we are brethren in our experience. That would have been more interesting, but that isn't what happened.
I do think that superhero films now are more spectacles than storytelling, and
I went on a rant there. I'm really sorry. I
totally agree. And to circle back to our Martin Scorsese point earlier, I didn't agree with him when he said that they're like theme parks and they're spectacles at the time. He is becoming more and more proven right.
Yes,
with each film that comes out, which I'm at a point where I went, well, I can't really argue with you post Endgame. I'm struggling to think apart from like the Batman, you know, which
that's great.
It's a great film. It's a great, but it's not. Again, it's under that, not just a good superhero film, it's a great film. It's basically like Seven and, you know, David
plays
Fincher
with the genre.
Yeah, it does. It's like he just happens to be Batman. It's more of that's a plus than anything else. Mm-hmm. Same as Logan. He happens to be Wolverine. But it's not the crux of the story. Whereas all these other films are like, hey, Blue Beetle, he's a fun new character for you to enjoy. And, you know.
And
you
I know. Didn't.
Yeah. But I guess what Marvel did really well for years was build a world and build that. I don't think DC, and correct me if I'm wrong, at the end of any DC film, you never thought, right, the world's opened up here. What are we going to see? You get like a little cameo at the end of maybe like Henry Cavill pops up or doesn't, or does, you know, depending on what it is.
Pops up never to be seen
again. For Henry Cavill, I'm going to fight Black Hat. No, you're not. But like, I'm looking at the list here. So I'm going to go through the list. And obviously, we've already established that Blue Beetle is better than The Flash. So, you know, we're playing higher or lower here, really.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wait. Higher or lower than The Flash?
Let me get my ranking list app up and I'll.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Whilst Simone's doing that, I will say, that I apologize for my crazy rant on this episode.
No, I think it was very, very well thought out, actually. It really touched a lot of points.
I'm so exacerbated by... I left this film genuinely... Do you know how Toby was after The Flash?
You surely weren't that angry.
No. I was like, no. I don't think anybody can get to
Toby killed a guy.
Yeah. Toby just punched a guy in the face. Punched a kid who was...
It was Ezra Miller.
Well, nobody cared about
which
that.
Which is fine.
Yeah. No, I wasn't that angry.
To be clear, Toby never hit anyone.
No, Toby wouldn't hurt fly.
For legal reasons.
For legal reasons. He hit me. No, I'm
just... Sorry, Toby.
I just was so tired after watching this film. I actually felt sad. Like, that's how I felt after watching this film. Because I was just so like, oh, I'm done. I'm really done. And I love superheroes. And to leave a film like that and just be like, oh.
I'm looking at a list of DC films, and I'm putting this in my top five easily, maybe top three. So,
all right, well, let's see the others, because it might be right in mine, but that might be a list. Right. So we'll start.
We'll go backwards from The Flash. So better than The Flash?
Yes.
Yes.
Better than Shazam: Fury of the Gods?
Yes.
Okay. We're two for two. Black Adam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right. This is where it might get interesting. The Suicide Squad.
No, it is not as good.
I agree. I think the Suicide Squad is probably my favorite of the DC.
But is that a part of?
Technically, it's on Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Is that a part of James Gunn's DCU?
No, James Gunn's DCU technically hasn't started yet.
Well, this is what I was going to say. We all hate this. Well, no, you think it's fine and Spone just didn't enjoy it.
Well, the quote from James Gunn says, the Blue Peter. Ironically, I've never watched Blue Peter in my life, so I don't know that quote.
Oh, no. So good.
I really wanted a Blue Peter badge.
Oh, who didn't? Who didn't want one?
Yeah, to be fair, that is the pinnacle of British TV, Blue Peter badge. Anyway, the Blue Peter... Jesus Christ. You know what? It's because the word...
Blue Peter's in it.
It's because the word Peter Safran is underneath what I've written.
Do you know what? This is worse than Blue Peter. Blue Peter is better than this.
Blue Peter is better than Blue Beetle. Right, I'll give you that. Even though I've never seen it. Right, the Blue Beetle character is reportedly part of Gunn and Safran's plans for DCU. In June, Gunn said Blue Beetle would be the first DCU character, while noting that Superman Legacy 2025 is the first DCU film. Later that month, Soto, the director, said Blue Beetle was a part of the DCU and future plans for the franchise, but was not connected to the prior DCEU films, explaining that this film lives in the world where superheroes exist, but doesn't mean that it ties to certain events or things that have happened previously. So basically what they're saying is... if we want to call on the old stuff, we can, but we're not tying ourselves to it.
What is that as a statement? Like, that's just gibberish. Is it a universe where superheroes exist but stuff doesn't happen? You know, this may be in it.
It's disregard everything that came before, but
maybe don't.
Don't.
But in case the fans go really mental, we might just bring back Henry Cavill.
It's just awful. Right.
Do you reckon if Henry Cavill got a call from James Gunn and said, hey mate, how you doing? Wondering if you want to put the red cape on? I'd be like, hell no, I just have
no, 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 no at all.
Go back to my Warhammer.
Do we think it's actually going to get better once James Gunn starts doing stuff?
Oh, I hope so.
Because it's just painful. Carry on with the list.
Right, anyway, we're on The Suicide Squad, which is better. DC is better, right. Then we've got the Snyder Cut.
Oh.
I'm going to say the Snyder Cut is, and I've said this before, because it throws so much in 4 hours, it's that metaphor, the more mud you throw out of the wall, the more of it will stick. But eventually it had to have something.
What a review. You throw it there. I think, that's tough. I think I had a better time watching The Suicide Squad than this. but I think I did have a better time.
I just
want to hold on to that. No, I did have a better time watching the Snyder Cut in one way, because as you say, there was so much there that like some of it's going to be enjoyable, but it is 4 hours and like ain't short.
There will be follow-up questions after this list as to why we've picked these, I guess, but
I think that is maybe on par, but for different reasons. Okay. Like I think the concept that they wanted, the Snyder Cut wanted to do, is better than this. I think actually no, I'm going to stick with the Snyder Cut is better than this. Because at least he's trying.
Yeah.
At least Zack Snyder
he's trying after 4 hours. He's tried.
He's trying. He is genuinely making something that he believes is this like vision of his film. Whose vision this is, I don't know. But at least the Snyder Cut is doing
this
something.
This is a studio film.
Yeah.
Producer.
Next.
Right. Sim. Before Sim, Snyder Cut.
Have you watched it?
I started it. I got about half an hour in and I was
that says all I need to know.
I don't have the tenacity for this.
You just saw the weird Wonder Woman bits where she's running and she basically protects that child and goes, "You can grow up to be like me, but not like me."
But not really.
Not really, because I'm like awesome.
And you're not.
And speaking of which, next one is Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh.
I think our review should just be, you know, you guys making sounds. Woo!
That was
bad. No. All right. Okay, this is better than that.
So Blue Beetle's still doing okay.
Yeah, it's right. Still actually top three technically.
Yeah. Okay, we've got next Birds of Prey, which I enjoyed more than
it's
Blue
Beetle. Right. I enjoyed that. It's all right. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. It's all right.
Shazam.
Yeah.
Do you know, I didn't hate Shazam.
I did.
It's broadly fine. It was.
And Zachariah Levi needs to sit down.
Yeah, he does.
Stay quiet for a bit.
Yeah, he does. Get out of here, Zach. Sit down.
I'm going to say Shazam is better than Blue Beetle.
Okay.
I'm actually going to side. Oh, that's tricky to side with. I'm going to side not just because, you know, she's in the house, but I'm going to side with Simone.
Make me sound so abusive on this podcast. You make me sound awful.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm coming. I just imagine now. Simone's like wheeled around the corner just staring at you.
But I think Shazam was a better time than this.
Yeah,
I left so drunk.
I disagree, but let's move on. Right, surely Aquaman.
Aquaman's better than this.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's 40 minutes too long.
It's too... Yeah, but this is probably 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Jason Momoa is a good, fun watch. He's good.
Jason Momoa is a fun watch. The stuff in the trench is really good. I love the stuff in the trench. That's good stuff.
Okay.
Stick around for the trench.
Okay.
Sam, Aquaman.
That's got to be a quote. Aquaman. I love the stuff in the trench.
How did you feel about the trench?
I didn't care for the trench.
I didn't care for the trench.
Didn't care for the film at all, to be honest with you.
I'm with Simone on that
one. Okay, fair enough. I thought we all liked the trench.
Okay, right. I think we can all agree that the original Justice League is terrible, right?
Oh, it's terrible. Let's just move on. Yeah, move on.
Okay, one Wonder Woman.
Yeah, no, this Wonder Woman's way better than this.
Yeah,
Wonder Woman is good.
Even with the weird, airy stuff at the end, it's better than this.
Yeah, like, Wonder Woman's better. Good. Don't know what happened in the sequel.
I do love that Ares didn't shave his mustache. I love that he still has his mustache under that helmet.
Suicide Squad. I think we
move on.
Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Oh jeez, I forgot about that film.
That was what? How did you forget? We went to see that film together.
Yes, we did.
We were still in uni. I reviewed it for the university newspaper called The News, which I didn't really like it much then, but I think it's still better than this because
I think we need to get a ranking of these films at some point, like a proper.
I think it's yeah, we should. This should be its own episode. But I feel like it's at least try again. I think anything that Snyder does, I believe he believes he's making something good. And like, because of
such a backhanded comment. So I believe he believes, you know. Poor guy.
But no, I was going to pay him a compliment.
It's like a child doing a finger painting and you go, that's really good. Well done.
Like, well, as long as you like it, sweetie, it's all good.
Yeah, we'll put it on the fridge and people will ask about it.
But I think because of that, it inherently has some merit because he's trying to do something, and because
that can't be the criteria. He tried to do something.
So many of these films do nothing.
Oh, like, Ian, it's so mean.
No, I genuinely Blue Beetle.
You're digging yourself a hole here.
I'm broken, Chris. No, Blue Beetle doesn't do anything. It does nothing. Whereas at least Snyder is trying to do something that like is different, or like it doesn't work, but he tries. And like, because of that, I think it has artistic merit.
What a long-winded way of saying that you didn't like it. What a long-winded
way. But it has merit.
Because he tried?
He tried.
Okay. But right. I'm just Man of Steel.
Man of Steel's better than this.
Man of Steel is definitely better than this, but it could have been better.
All right, okay. So
but he tried.
He really tried. He's doing all right. So fair play to him.
Yeah, no, I like. Do you know what?
Star Wars film on the horizon, so you know.
Oh, good. I genuinely mean this from.
Do you mean
like,
that? Oh, good.
Good.
You're like, yeah. Shit.
I mean this genuinely with all my heart. I genuinely really like Zack Snyder. He seems like a lovely person and I would love to.
He really
like...
gives it a go.
He does. I really want to sit with him and all of his films. He genuinely like puts all of his effort into his films. I think he is more a visual director and like I would love to tell him to just like focus on the visual element and get somebody else to write his films. Because I feel like he would actually get something of like really high quality if he just did the visual stuff. But he seems like such a lovely guy. Like he does. So I genuinely mean that I like Zack Snyder. I want to make sure.
You don't like his films.
No, I don't. No, I don't like his films, no.
I mean, I've said this before, his best film is a remake, which is Dawn of the Dead.
And the original's still better, so...
It is, you know, he's got the blueprint there already. I know he was, like, involved in, you know, The Suicide Squad, but, you know, his films... Like I say, he does seem like a really nice guy, and he's really passionate, and I'm starting to sound like you now, Ian.
Oh, yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so the
this is technically top five. Yeah, you are right.
The films we've picked out then, you know, Man of Steel, Wonder Woman, The Suicide Squad, Birds of Prey. What is it about those films that work and the others don't, essentially? Because, you know, you've got origin stories in there. You've got things that are, you know, the blueprints for every other superhero film. So what is it about those films that we like more than Blue Beetle? Is it purely that they're trying to... do something different, you know, like Zack Snyder, or you know, they're trying to.
He's trying. He's...
What is it about those films that stand out? I guess.
What do you think, Sim?
Oh,
is it casting? Is it something like that? Obviously, you've got Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, which obviously was a big deal.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I didn't find the actor that played Jaime. I didn't find him very compelling. He wasn't charismatic. He didn't really have something going for him that sort of
Jesus.
He's so good looking now. Everyone,
you're a good looking guy, but you've got no charisma. You've got nothing like, going for you.
It wasn't okay. That's you're crap. Making me sound really mean. I'm sorry, sir, but he didn't.
You said it.
I'm sorry. He didn't have anything that like. He didn't
no
have
one
that,
is safe that, on this podcast.
No, they're not. I mean, no, he didn't have anything that like
anything
that made him seem like really compelling or like particularly interesting. What? It's true.
It's a valid point. It is a valid point.
I thought you were going to say the character wasn't well written. You're just like decimating this guy's performance. He's got no charisma. He wasn't
particularly charismatic. Like, it wasn't really, there wasn't really anything in it. And then you look at, like, even with the relationship with Jenny, I was like, really?
Oh, yeah, huh? No, that's, yeah,
really?
That's true.
This
it's
guy?
True.
Really?
It's true.
Like,
it is true. What when is they it? Were going to kiss each
he
other,
is,
I was like,
he is cute. What? He's got good hair. I'll give him that.
But like, their relationship wasn't really like, it didn't
Your
it feel like
are
it
so
like,
low,
it yeah, built on anything. You know, it didn't, it felt very.
I agree. It's kind of like,
yeah, okay, I agree.
Just they've pushed just, in there.
Suddenly they're just, oh yeah, we'll be together now. It's like, we like each other. It's like,
I mean, okay. I know that people do bond over traumatic events, so. And they went through, they were, you know, people shot at them. So that's traumatic. So I guess that's what brought them all together. But
I was thinking about that line in Speed, because in Speed, they say like people who meet over traumatic events rarely work out. I was like, well, yeah, you think of like John McClane, you think of anyone who's been in any action film. They're not happy. They don't live happy lives.
So the sequel to this is Blue Beetle's like got depression and like him and Jenny are broken up. He's got like an alcohol problem, but he can't get drunk because the robot.
Retrospective.
Yeah. It's going to be a breakdown of the genre.
Oscar nominated Blue Beetle.
I think what those films.
I mean, across Spider-Verse already did that.
Yeah, true. I mean, they're so good. But
so good.
I think what those films did. I mean, the thing is, though, like, the problem is. Are any of those films, like, honestly, between the two of you, any of those DC films that we've just listed, would you put them in your top superhero films that you've seen in the last 25 years?
No.
So it's a low bar anyway for DC. Like, it's not great anyway. So then when I start going, what do those things have better than this? I'm like, well, they're just marginally entertaining, or...
The storyline's a little bit more together. And
They're trying something different that, you know, didn't quite work, but I still find it interesting. Mm. You know, this is just crap. It's just nothing that's meaningless.
I mean, the best two DC films that in the last, I can't remember how many years you said, but obviously you've got The Batman and Joker. Now,
Neither of them are in this universe.
Yeah, Joker has 5-star moments and it has really bad 1-star moments for me. And
that
averages out, whereas The Batman's incredible. But they're still films that, you know, are completely different to anything else in the DC canon.
And then if we broaden this out into like DC animation films, like DC animation films, again, try and do retrospectives and breakdowns and they just make way more interesting, you know, like, whereas it's just, these are crap. They're just so crap. I'm just so done. I'm really just done.
Even Teen Titans Go to the Movies is better than.
Yeah, it is. Teen Titan Go is great.
Yeah.
I'm just really done. And I think what I want to see more of, and I think we can all agree, like if you went to me, what is Across the Spider-Verse and Logan and Winter Soldier and all of them better than this crap? I would say it's because they give us, as you said, amazing characters, as Simone said, great performances with great like breakdowns, and I said with themes. I think that's what they do better. They make good films, whereas this is terrible. And if you leave this conversation still being like, oh, that was fine, you only think it's fine because you're comparing it to the crap that DC has released.
Fair point. Absolutely fair point. No, I think we've established that this is above the standard we come to expect from DC, but it's still not delivering what we want the superhero genre to now deliver. And I feel like both universes, to be fair, let's be fair, are both churning and turning the wheels in
awful.
The dark and not really getting.
I will say I prefer this to Thor: Love and Thunder.
Interesting. We never did a Marvel comparison, but it's I would agree. I'd say I enjoyed it more. I'd also say I enjoyed it more than Multiverse of Madness as well.
I hated that film.
I mean Quantumania as well, which is...
I think Quantumania is better than this, but like not by that much. Like, it's just really forgettable.
Oh, I didn't like Quantumania either. I think Quantumania I hated. Hated.
You did hate it.
Hated.
You did.
I was too harsh on Multiverse of Madness. That was...
It's bad.
But,
it's not good.
But,
it was a letdown more than anything
else.
Yeah,
but Quantumania was just terrible.
Yeah.
I think
what I'm getting at is the superhero fatigue, I think, is a legit thing now.
Oh, I think it's real now. Yeah, I think it's real.
I think it's partly because we've had so much since 2008 when Iron Man hit the scene. Even before that, you know, we've had Blade and X-Men and stuff before that from the early 2000s. We're now in 2023, so nearly 23 years later from the first X-Men film, or even Blade, you know, if you want to go that far back, that so, unless they do a complete left turn and give us something, you know, or I'm not saying keep making films like Logan or Spider-Verse, but something different, something fresh that isn't going to be like, oh yeah, we saw this when they did Phase 1 of the MCU, like, 10, 15 years ago. You're now just redoing it because you think we've got short memories. But I feel like they just need to go, right, no, we're going to tell you brand new stories and don't worry about the superhero thing.
Well, yeah, and I think they could not have to repeat Logan across the Spider-Verse, because I think one of the early episodes we did of this is that, and I've said to Simone many times, Hawkeye, they should have done like a rom-com film for Hawkeye. I think that would have been really funny. And it would have really worked as a genre piece that, like, his kids have been kidnapped. He needs to go for his meal with his wife. And the film is done in actual time. So it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours of him trying to get his family. But it's not cut scenes to like a week later. It's an hour. It's 2 hours of his life. And we're watching him like go and try and save his family. But it's kind of romantic comedy with his wife. I think that would have been interesting. I would have watched that and had a good time. Four could have been this breakdown of what really makes a superhero or a god, and they could have done it in an interesting way. Taika Waititi is a very good director. You know, Jojo Rabbit shows that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have done something really interesting with that character. Multiverse of Madness, it could have been, you know, this look into multiple universes, like Across the Spider-Verse was. Obviously, we have a bit of a parallel there, but they don't have to repeat, you know, what other films have done. You just need to do things different.
It sounds like what you're asking for is just a bit more of like, because I feel like so many superhero films, it's like it's an action film, but they could be more than just an action film, right?
Yes. Yeah. That is exactly what I'm saying.
They could genre bend a little bit more. Genre bend. Bring some
Multiverse
more genre.
Could have been a horror.
You could have done exactly. You could have done straight up horror with, you know, like Werewolf by Night has that kind of potential. I hope we see that universe again, because
is the hope, I think.
True,
is the hope we must all pin on.
Well, the rumors are obviously everything's delayed at the minute, but apparently there's issues before that about, you know, conflicting ideas and scripts and all kinds of stuff. So even, you know, if Mahershala Ali is having, you know, issues with the script, that's not a good sign, you know.
Chris.
I'm sorry. I'm just reporting the news.
It's you, Chris.
Me, I'm the issue.
You keep whispering in his ear, going, "Oh, you shouldn't do that."
maybe some genre bending would be nice.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't need to be action films.
No, they don't. They don't need to be action films. They don't.
Like Loki wasn't an action thing.
No, it wasn't.
It was not an action thing. It was
more
like a
drama.
Yeah, it was this
dramery.
Yeah, I don't think there is much action in Loki at all, actually, and it's really interesting. It's really interesting. You know, they don't need to be action films. You hit the nail on the head. I want genre bending. I want different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why The Batman's so good. It's Seven. It's a detective film.
Yeah, we want to be able to go into these films without a checklist of tropes we expect to see and come out having ticked them all off, because that's pretty much what we're doing every time we watch this now. We know exactly this is going to happen. There's going to be this. There's going to be this kind of, you know.
I have zero hopes for the Marvels at the end of the year. I have zero hopes.
Well, you've got Marvels, you've got Aquaman 2, you know, it's going to be a strong end to the year, guys.
I'm holding out hope for the Marvels because, I really admire Nia DaCosta, who's the director, and she's co-written it as well.
What she directed?
She did. Oh, what's it called? Candyman.
Candyman. Yeah,
but before that, she did like a almost like Western short film.
Oh, yeah? What's it called?
I'm not sure. I can't remember now. But
what's it for now? I don't know.
But yeah, so like she's quite a compelling person, and apparently in her interview for Marvel, she pitched a X-Men crossover with Fantastic Four. Is that the one?
Okay. Cool.
So she sounds like she knows her stuff. She knows the material. Like, I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I hope for her sake, because I really enjoyed Candyman as well. I just think
she sounds like she's early in her career, right?
Yeah, she's. I think she's going to be the youngest person to have directed a Marvel movie.
Okay, well, but they do this all the time. They literally do this all the time. They get like these young directors, get their name on it, and they will just tell them what to direct. I think this is going to be exactly the same. Look at Eternals. That was directed by Oscar-winning director. Mm-hmm. And that was crap.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Like, that was terrible.
No. Oh, no. We don't speak of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
neither do Marvel.
Like, how many films have we had now? And there's supposed to be like a face and a hand coming out of planet Earth, and we never see it.
Nobody references that. Oh, that was weird, wasn't it? That was crazy. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's a shame because, as well, for female directors, if a film doesn't do well, that's, you know, you don't get a lot of chances as female director, whereas male directors can just brush it off a lot easier. Whereas someone like Nia DaCosta, you know, Patty Jenkins as well, you know, if a film doesn't do well, then people will start asking questions immediately, which is a
I don't think it's their fault, though.
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
But
it is
a sad fact. You know, you look, there's a number of them that...
It's true.
You know, and it's really a shame. So I hope that Marvel's is good for Nia DaCosta's sake, and also for Brie Larson's sake, because she still gets a lot of shit for
me.
It's ridiculous. Like, get over it.
I really don't get it. Like, I really, really do not get it. It's bizarre. Bizarre.
Yeah,
it's
so
men with small man syndrome or tiny penis syndrome.
Tiny penises. Yeah, it's sad little men. It's sad little men in their big cars driving around. Being like, I don't like Brie Larson because she's a woman, and I don't like women with power. And I didn't like Barbie either. And let me make a 45-minute video to tell you why. Oh no, it's Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro's back.
Ben, get out of
here! Head into every episode.
He just sneaks his way in. It's like, get
you need
out
to
of
stop
here,
letting him in your house.
And take Zach with you. Get out of here, Zachary Levi. Get out of here. Both of you.
I thought you meant Zach
Snyder.
Like, what?
No, Zach Snyder can stay. We all know I like him. You can stay, Zach.
Do
you sit
you
down.
Like
but
him?
Yes, I do. Okay. I really do.
You can.
Sorry.
I feel like we need to have an episode just to delve into Ian's real feelings on Zack Snyder.
I do like him. I do like him.
And the risk and the risk of us, you know, going completely off piste on this one. I think at the end of this,
we have a bit, actually. Haven't we?
Thank you for staying with us. If you're still here,
we
wouldn't be the Phantom Zone if we didn't go off topic. It wouldn't be.
So really what we want is obviously, you know, kind of genre films. We want something different, and we want our superhero films to give us something unexpected, which, you know, given what we've got on the horizon might not be immediate, but, you know, James Gunn's DCU, we'll never know, Superman Legacy, you know, potentially.
We'll never see it.
Maybe not.
At this rate.
But I think, Blue Beetle, basically what we're saying is it falls into the same category as most of the superhero films. It's too late. It tries. I keep saying that now. It tries, but it's treading a lot of the same water that's already been gone over, and we're getting to that point where we're getting fatigued, and fatigue is really becoming a real thing, right?
Oh yeah, big time, big time. Yeah.
But it's better than The Flash.
Yes, it is.
That's That's our official review. Better than The Flash.
Blue Beetle is better than The Flash. Maybe top five.
Just maybe top five. Well, they'll cut the quote there. You know when they've always got a quote on the poster?
Yeah.
Better than The Flash. Maybe top five. Yeah. And people are like, what? Of all time? Films of all time? Full quote. Of the DC universe, which isn't great. Which isn't great.
Well, I think that's a brilliant note to end on, guys. I think that kind of hits the nail on the head in terms of our review of Blue Beetle, and I guess the superhero genre as a whole, but currently where it stands. I feel it was a really surprising but in-depth discussion that I wasn't expecting us to have, but I really enjoyed it. But thank you for joining me and chatting to me about it. It's been really fun.
Well, thank you. Gracias.
Thank you for hosting.
De nada. And of course, thank you to all you wonderful listeners. Sorry, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long one. And the heat's gotten to us. Yeah, all, I'm not going to lie.
I am just so in hot. A puddle right now. Yeah. Thank you, listeners, for sticking with us. I know we went off on a bit of a side quest there, but we really appreciate every single one of you for listening and hope you enjoyed it. Obviously, thank you to UK Film Review for having us.
Bop,
and Chris.
Bop.
Bop, bop.
Massive shout out to Chris, the editor. Does amazing stuff over there. You can check out a lot of other great shows on UK Film Review, such as Gay Actually and The Scream Test. You know, obviously, you both were on Gay Actually recently, and we've had Rachel on before. Really good podcast to listen to. And if you've enjoyed listening to us ramble on about superheroes today, you can listen to us talk about all kinds of nerdy things and more superhero chat on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. Please tell your friends and please like and share. We'd really appreciate it. You can find us on Instagram at The Phantom Zone Podcast, and you can email us if you feel you want to get in touch at thephantomzonepodcast@gmail.com. But just email us.
Just email.
Yeah.
Tell us how much you hate this.
Yeah. It'd be nice. Yeah, if someone wants to get in touch, that's great. Maybe we'll have a chat. But for now, until next time, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.